Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
We welcome you to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, we love to receive your questions. You can email us, radio@ldschurch.org. You can also call us on our toll-free line, 1-877-MY-LDS-321. Mormon Channel Q&A is questions and answers. We ask you to provide us questions, and then we do the best we can in providing you the answers to those questions. We received an email that says, quote, "During the times of Jesus, many people often ask the Savior about the kingdom of heaven. It is just as important a topic now as it was then. With all the bad things happening around the world, who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? Has the criteria changed with the times?" Close quote. That is a great question. Hopefully, we'll answer the question for you in a way that all can understand. In previous Q&A episodes, we've tried to be clear that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So the criteria to enter into the kingdom of heaven has never changed. Let's look at two scriptures that explain what is needed to enter the kingdom of heaven. First, Matthew 18, verses 3 through 4. It states, quote, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Close quote. The second scripture comes from 3 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 37 through 39. It says, quote, "And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine." Close quote. Repentance, baptism, humility, conversion, become as a little child. These are the characteristics of those who will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are and always will be the characteristics. Each of these characteristics is unavoidably tied together and lead to a complete change in who we become. Elder Russell M. Nelson in the April 2007 General Conference talks about repentance and conversion can lead to a complete change in our natures.
The doctrine of repentance is much broader than a dictionary's definition. When Jesus said repent, his disciples recorded that command in the Greek language with the verb metanoeo. This powerful word has great significance. The prefix meta means change. The suffix relates to four important Greek terms: nous, meaning the mind; gnos, meaning knowledge; pneuma, meaning spirit; and pneuma, meaning breath. Thus, when Jesus said repent, he asked us to change our mind, knowledge, and spirit, even our breath. A prophet explained that such a change in one's breath is to breathe with grateful acknowledgement of him who grants each breath. King Benjamin said, "If he should serve him who has created you and is preserving you from day to day by lending you breath from one moment to another, I say if he should serve him with all your whole souls, yet ye would be unprofitable servants." Yes, the Lord has commanded us to repent, to change our ways, to come unto him and be more like him. This requires a total change. Alma so taught his son. "Learn wisdom in thy youth," he said. "Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever." To repent fully is to convert completely to the Lord Jesus Christ and his holy work. Alma taught that concept when he posed these questions. I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? That change comes when we are born again, converted and focused upon our journey to the kingdom of God.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. As mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ explained that to enter into the kingdom of heaven, one must repent, be baptized, be humble, be converted, and become as a little child. In previous Mormon Channel Q&As, we've explored in-depth repentance, baptism, and humility. Go to radio.lds.org to listen to those or any previous episode of the Mormon Channel Q&A. Today, we will focus on what it means to be converted and to become as a little child. The apostle, Elder Francis M. Lyman, said that, quote, "We are admonished that except we become as little children, we can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. We cannot be like our Father in heaven and like His Son, Jesus Christ, except we come to the condition of little children. Their condition and purity and freedom from sin and transgression of every kind. We must reach that condition and that state of humility before we can come into the presence of God and be owned and acknowledged of Him as His," close quote. This then becomes one of life's biggest hurdles. As Elder Dallin H. Oakes puts it, quote, "the challenge to become," close quote. Now, here is Elder Dallin H. Oakes speaking at the October 2000 General Conference about the challenge to become.
The Apostle Paul taught that the Lord's teachings and teachers were given that we may all attain the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This process requires far more than acquiring knowledge. It is not even enough for us to be convinced of the gospel. We must act and think so that we are converted by it. In contrast to the institutions of the world, which teach us to know something, the gospel of Jesus Christ challenges us to become something. Many Bible and modern scriptures speak of a final judgment at which all persons will be rewarded according to their deeds or works or the desires of their hearts. But other scriptures enlarge upon this by referring to our being judged by the condition we have achieved. The prophet Nephi describes the final judgment in terms of what we have become. "And if their works have been filthiness, they must needs be filthy. And if they be filthy, it must needs be that they cannot dwell in the kingdom of God. Moroni declares, 'He that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still.' The same would be true of selfish or disobedient or any other personal attribute inconsistent with the requirements of God. Referring to the state of the wicked in the final judgment, Alma explains that if we are condemned by our words, our works, and our thoughts, we shall not be found spotless. And in this awful state, we shall not dare to look up to our God." From such teachings, we conclude that the final judgment is not just an evaluation of a sum total of good and evil acts, what we have done. It is an acknowledgement of the final effect of our acts and thoughts, what we have become. It is not enough for anyone just to go through the motions. The commandments, ordinances, and covenants of the gospel are not a list of deposits required to be made in some heavenly account. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a plan that shows us how to become what our Heavenly Father desires us to become.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. That's our webpage and our homepage. If you'd like to listen to this program or download it so you can listen to it later or podcast it, go to our website, radio.lds.org. And if you have a comment about this program or any other program here on the Mormon Channel, feel free to contact us via email. Our address is radio@ldschurch.org. We also have a toll-free number, 1-877-MY-LDS-321. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the question is, with all the bad things happening around the world, who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? Has the criteria changed with the times? That's the question. The prophet Joseph Smith also commented on what it means to become little children, saying, quote, "How vain and trifling have been our spirits, our conferences, our councils, our meetings, our private as well as public conversations. Too low, too mean, too vulgar, too condescending for the dignified characters of the called and chosen of God, according to the purposes of His will, formed before the foundation of the world. We are called to hold the keys of the mysteries of those things which have been kept hid from the foundation of the world until now. Some have tasted a little of these things, many of which are to be poured down from heaven upon the heads of babes, yea, upon the weak, obscure, and despised ones of the earth. Therefore, we beseech of you, brethren, that you will bear with those who do not feel themselves more worthy than yourselves, while we exhort one another to a reformation with one and all, both old and young, teachers and taught, both high and low, rich and poor, bond and free, male and female. Let honesty and sobriety and candor and solemnity and virtue and pureness and meekness and simplicity crown our heads in every place, and in fine, become as little children, without malice, guile, or hypocrisy." Close quote. Elder Dallin H. Oaks continues in the October 2000 General Conference about conversion.
When the disciples ask who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Later, the Savior confirmed the importance of being converted, even for those with a testimony of the truth. In the sublime instructions given at the Last Supper, he told Simon Peter, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In order to strengthen his brethren, to nourish and lead the flock of God, this man who had followed Jesus for 3 years, who had been given the authority of the holy apostleship, who had been a valiant teacher and testifier of the Christian gospel, and whose testimony had caused the Master to declare him blessed, still had to be converted. Jesus' challenge shows that the conversion he required for those who would enter the kingdom of heaven was far more than just being converted to testify to the truthfulness of the gospel. To testify is to know and to declare. The gospel challenges us to be converted, which requires us to do and to become. If any of us relies solely upon our knowledge and our testimony of the gospel, we are in the same position as the blessed but still unfinished apostles whom Jesus challenged to be converted. We all know someone who has a strong testimony but does not act upon it so as to be converted. For example, returned missionaries. Are you still seeking to be converted, or are you caught up in the ways of the world? The needed conversion by the gospel begins with the introductory experience the scriptures call being born again. In the waters of baptism, and by receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, we become the spiritual sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, new creatures who can inherit the kingdom of God.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A here at radio.lds.org. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven, and the question is, with all the bad things that are happening in the world, who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? Has the criteria changed with the times? Well, Elder Bruce R. McConkie once wrote, quote, true greatness in the Lord's earthly kingdom is measured not by positions held, not by preeminence attained, not by honors bestowed by mortals, but by intrinsic merit and goodness. Those who become as little children and acquire the attributes of godliness for themselves, regardless of the capacity in which they may be called to serve, are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, close quote. One of the greatest places to learn about becoming as little children and having our very natures changed is in the Sermon of King Benjamin. Of this sermon, Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, quote, in addition to witnessing to the realities of the heavenly king and of Jesus' role as Savior, King Benjamin's remarkable sermon gives us a unique view of how this prophet king understood the developmental process of serious discipleship. By following its key precepts, the faithful are lovingly counseled in the path of righteousness. Benjamin's speech reveals the nature of divine discipleship as it can be displayed only by one who has become a saint through the atoning blood of Christ. Close quote. Elder Henry B. Eyring, in the April 2006 General Conference, talks of King Benjamin and his important truths taught regarding having our natures changed.
It has never been more important than it is now to understand how to build on that sure foundation. For me, there is no better place to look than in the last sermon of King Benjamin, recorded in the Book of Mormon. Most of us have read it again recently and have pondered it more than once. King Benjamin could see us and our descendants. He knew by prophetic power what we face. He knew from his own experience the terrors of war. He had defended his people in combat, relying on the power of God. He saw clearly the terrible powers of Lucifer to tempt and to overcome us. He was a great and a holy man, and he knew how to invite people to build on that rock of safety, as well as any of the Lord's prophets. He started in his discourse where we must all begin, to help people escape spiritual disaster. People have to believe that the danger is real to want to find safety. They have to fear the consequence of ignoring the peril. He made clear the hazards we face because we are free to choose between right and wrong, and because we cannot avoid the consequences of those choices. He spoke directly and sharply because he knew what sorrow would come to those who might not hear and heed his warnings. Here is how he described the consequences which follow our choice either to follow the prompting of the Spirit of Christ or to follow the evil messages which come from Satan, whose purpose is to tempt us and trap us into sin. For behold, there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that evil spirit. For if he listeth to obey him and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his own soul. For he receiveth for his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. Therefore, if that man repenteth not and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice do awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt, which does cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire whose flame ascendeth up forever and ever. King Benjamin went on, O ye old men, and also ye young men, and you little children who can understand my words, for I have spoken plainly unto you, that ye might understand. I pray that you should awake to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. For me, the power of that warning is the picture it forms into my mind of that time we will each stand before the Savior after this life to be judged. When King Benjamin speaks to me, of shrinking from the presence of the Lord, it puts fear into my heart. I can see myself standing in that day of judgment before the glorified and resurrected Savior. I want with all my heart not to shrink, but rather to look up at Him and see Him smile and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in." King Benjamin makes it clear how we can earn the hope to hear those words if we find the way in this life to have our natures changed through the atonement of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we can build on the sure foundation and so stand firm in righteousness during the storms of temptation. King Benjamin describes that change with a beautiful comparison used by prophets for millennia and by the Lord Himself. It is this, that we can and we must become as a child, a little child.
That's Elder Henry B. Eyring. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A here at radio.lds.org. That's our website. If you'd like to listen to this program again or download a podcast, go to our website, radio.lds.org. If you'd like to send us an email on this program or any other program, maybe you have a question for the Mormon Channel Q&A, you can send it to radio@ldschurch.org. We also have a toll-free line. That is 1-877-MY-LDS-321. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, and the question is, with all the bad things happening around the world, who will enter into the kingdom of heaven, and has the criteria changed with the times? We've also been talking about becoming as little children. The process of becoming as little children is vital to entering the kingdom of heaven. Without it, we will fall short. As King Benjamin stated, one of the best ways that we can have our natures changed and become as little children is to put off the natural man. President Joseph Fielding Smith talked about the carnal nature of the natural man, saying, quote, "There is no other course for us to take but the course of righteousness and truth." An ancient prophet on this continent said, "The natural man is an enemy to God." The world today has become carnal, as much so now as in the beginning when Adam attempted to teach his children the principles of eternal truth. And Satan came among them and commanded them to believe it not. And we read, men began from that time forth to be carnal, sensual, and devilish. Surely we see these indications prevalent in our own land and in foreign lands. Men have become carnal. They have become enemies to God. They are seeking for their own advancement and not for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Let me call your attention to this fact, which you, of course, all know, that we are living in the last days, the days of trouble, the days of wickedness, close quote. President David O. McKay warns against this natural man, saying, quote, "Only in the complete surrender of our inner life may we rise above the selfish, sordid pull of nature," close quote. Elder Henry B. Eyring in the April 2006 General Conference gives us some concluding thoughts on this topic.
King Benjamin, who understood as well as any mortal what it meant to be a man of strength and courage, makes it clear that to be like a child is not to be childish. It is to be like the Savior, who prayed to his Father for strength to be able to do his will, and then did it. Our natures must be changed to become as a child, to gain the strength we must have to be safe in the times of moral peril. Here is King Benjamin's stirring description of what that change to become like a child is and how it comes to us. "For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." Like you, I have felt what King Benjamin meant when he said we could become like a little child before God. I have prayed as you have to know what to do when choices that I faced would have eternal consequences. Over many years, I have seen a recurring pattern in the times when the answers to such a prayer have come most clearly. Once, for instance, I prayed through the night to know what it was I was to choose to do in the morning. I knew that no other choice could have had a greater effect on the lives of others and on my own. I knew what choice looked most comfortable to me. I knew what outcome I wanted, but I could not see the future. I could not see which choice would lead to which outcome. So the risk of being wrong seemed too great to me. I prayed, but for hours there seemed to be no answer. Just before dawn, a feeling came over me. More than at any time since I had been a child, I felt like one. My heart and my mind seemed to grow very quiet. There was a peace in that inner stillness. Somewhat to my surprise, I found myself praying, "Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter what I want. I don't care anymore what I want. I only want thy will be done. That is all that I want. Please tell me what to do." In that moment, I felt as quiet inside as I had ever felt. And the message came, and I was sure who it was from. It was clear what I was to do. I received no promise of the outcome. There was only the assurance that I was a child who had been told what path led to whatever he wanted for me. I bear you my witness that the Savior lives, and that he is the sure foundation. I know that by acting on our faith in him, we can be cleansed and changed to become pure and strong as a little child. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
That's Elder Henry B. Eyring. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for Q&A, email us, radio@ldschurch.org. If you have a comment on this program or any other program here on the Mormon Channel, feel free to use that email address. You can also call us toll-free, 1-877-MY-LDS-321. And make sure you go to our website. If you'd like to download this program or any other program here on the Mormon Channel, go to radio.lds.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.